even when we are not faithful, but when we are faithful, mixed with God's faithfulness, there is great blessing. Hallelujah. Well, welcome Sister Michelle, Pastor Michelle, as she comes and breaks the word to us this morning. I done read her notes. It's good. So y'all, open up. Let the Spirit of God minister to you.
Praise God. He is so good. And I am so thankful that all of you are here today. It's awesome to see everyone here. I know we're missing a few. I know some people in Dallas. I know some people had to go to the airport, some people here and there and yonder. But you are here. You are faithful. And I just want to encourage you that with the people in this room right here, we can change the world. We can. But we have to choose to cooperate with that process. Amen. We have to choose to be used of God. We have to choose to maybe lay a few things down, because it's kind of hard to change the world when, you know, we want to stay home and watch TV all day, or I don't know, whatever things it is that draws us away. We need our personal time, but there's a time to step up to what God has called us to. Amen? Amen. Man, just all kinds of excitement going on in our house the last couple of weeks. I think I would describe it as my son described one of his trips to Atlanta one year, where they decided to just drive through and sleep wherever they could find, stay on the beach, you know, under the stars. It was going to be wonderful. And an ice storm came through, and they discovered that all three guys snored, so all three of them were never sleeping at the same time. And he said it, but he was going to, I think it was Passion that was in Atlanta. Just some amazing meetings with some wonderful anointed people. And he said it was the most wonderful, horrible, terrible, fabulous, challenging, exciting time I've ever had. And the old thing of every single thing he owned was wet, and he's going through Walmart with a soggy $5 bill trying to decide whether to buy some cheap jeans or cheap sneakers. He wasn't sure which. It's been that way in some facets this week. And I'll just give you a little short update because it ties in with two things. It ties in with the goodness of God and the call on this body, on this church. And some of you may not know that Brother Kempo is someone that we just sent back to Botswana to minister there. He's a young man that we became acquainted with as he was going to Bible school in Houston. He came home with William Armbruster, and we met him. And in spending some time with him, God knit us together. We saw the call on his life, what he wanted to do. And God just put our families together. We actually wound up adopting him. He is our son, but he is a minister of the gospel. And he spent about a year and a half here after planning to be here for 6 months. He was here, and it was time to go home, and then COVID. So he was here for a while, longer than he expected, and very frustrating for him, and yet God brought him through some healing during that time, and he realized it was for the better. And we just recently sent him back, and if you have children, you know it's a challenge. You love them, and you want to keep them close to you, and you know, but that's not normal. Parents are supposed to raise kids up, to send them out and do whatever they're supposed to do, wherever that's supposed to be. So we've done that. It's not easy. You get attached to someone, and then you have to let them go. But we have to see beyond that to the call of God. And one thing that God did was he knit our spirits together to see what the call was and what was going on. And there are many times that I've covered him in prayer. And we've talked about this before. This is intercession, where it's not something where I decided, oh, okay, I'm going to set aside 15 minutes to pray for Kempo. I'm washing dishes or doing laundry, and it's like, oh, I feel that tug. What's up, God? Pray for Kempo. And so you just come aside, and sometimes it's 3 minutes, sometimes it's 30 minutes. You're obedient to what the Lord says, and you cover it. And God said, I want that raised up in this body, because in this body I will raise up a group of intercessors who will lay the foundation upon which a worldwide ministry is raised. Now, you may look around and say, this place, worldwide ministry, it's already happening, okay? There's already ministry in Kenya, ministry in several places, three different cities in Botswana that we are supporting. Just, you know, little old us, and big God. We can do amazing things when we say yes. And so we've said yes to that. And so in the vein of understanding that intercession and how necessary it is, when you are out there by yourself and you really have nothing because you haven't set up a bank account yet, you haven't found a place to live yet, you're not sure how these things are going to happen, people that were supposed to help you just have evaporated, you need prayer covering. You need someone who is listening to the Holy Spirit so that even though it's 2 a.m. here, I'm on my knees praying because something's going on and I don't know what it is. And I'll find out later what it is. And it's been amazing to watch God take care of all these things. I was making a list. And of course, in getting everything together, there's a lot of ministry he wants to do to the youth over there. You know, it takes a lot of video, audio equipment. You know, us old folks, we'll just sit around and talk. But the young people, they want to dance. They want the lights. They want all this kind of stuff. And it's a ministry. It's an outreach. So we've been putting together some equipment for him, getting those things together that he wanted to use. Guess what? It weighs a lot. And when they tell you 70 pounds or less at the airport, they mean it. So we made several trips to the airport trying to get the weight right. Come to find out, he had to leave probably 60% of his stuff here, clothes, equipment, all of that. So we finally think we have it figured out. We get to the airport day of for him to leave, and everything is 10 to 15 pounds overweight. We weighed it before. I don't understand. So he's standing there at the airport trying to figure out, do I want to leave the lights or the shoes? Do I want to take out the Converse or the Puma? You know, just all of these tough decisions, I know. But these are things he's not had a lot of. He was raised very, very rough. And we're going through these things and figuring out how to do it. So we finally get it straightened out to where it's good. And then come to find out, he was like 15 minutes late getting to his plane. They held it for him. They sent someone out to look for him to get on his plane. And I said, that doesn't happen on international flights. And so just seeing the favor of the Lord as those things went on. But then when he landed in Johannesburg, they had a layover, and then they extended the layover. And because they extended the layover, that meant he got into Botswana after curfew. You have to have a permit to go anywhere after curfew. So they would not let the guy that was supposed to pick him up with the keys to his house and the address, they wouldn't let him in the airport. So he doesn't even know where to go. He has no address. The man that we're supposed to hand him off to assist with everything over there, Mr. Jimson, who greeted us on his last Sunday, came down with COVID and has been in quarantine for 2 weeks. So he wasn't able to meet him. He wasn't able to help him out and tell him what to do. So all of these things are happening, and we're sitting over here, and one might think we're just sitting here helpless. There's nothing we can do. But no. Every time, I would just hit my knees in prayer when I knew, even when I didn't know. God would have me praying and covering, and the Lord showed me that there were many traps that the enemy had set for him when he got back. But he reminded me of the scripture, I think it's Psalms 30, is it 34:19? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So he landed there, and they told him his COVID test wasn't valid, so they tried to detain him for that. They tried to send him off a quarantine. They charged him, they fined him for another test, and they gave him a permit, but it says you can't be around anybody or go anywhere for 14 days. So he's got to find a place to live or figure out where he lives. He wound up meeting some people that he knew as a cousin that said, you know what, bro, we'll help you out. So they were actually released him to them at the airport. They let him take his stuff to their place. Okay, he's got a place to stay. We'll figure this out. He goes, they take him to his house that we procured for him ahead of time, and it's not livable. Because Mr. Jimson's been in quarantine, it's nasty, it's filthy, it hasn't been cleaned out, it hasn't been painted. Some of the rooms don't even have tiles. It was just awful. And he's like, well, at least I've got a place to stay with my cousin here for a few days to figure this out. And then he finds out, you know, you're welcome to stay here, but our lease is up in 3 days, and we have to be out. So it's just like, okay, God, What are you doing? And so he has to figure out how to get around town, take a taxi with a permit that says you're not supposed to be around anybody, and you have to sign in everywhere that you go. And because of the curfew, everything is congested. Traffic is crazy. Just trying to get to his house could take 3 or 4 hours, and then he's got to make sure he's home before curfew, because they don't play with curfew over there. If you're not in before curfew, they will beat you. They will put you in prison if you live. And I'm not being silly about it. That's how they deal with it there. So it was a harrowing few days of those things. And I realized, I tell you all that to tell you, I realized the importance of prayer covering. Prayer covering. This is just like the second one that we've sent out. God wants to raise us up as a body who will cover these people in prayer as they go. Because as they go to these places and we stay here with the stuff and we cover in prayer, we have a part of the harvest, every person that's touched. And he said, Mom, I know we said I'd get here and I'd get settled in and then we'd figure out where we're going to start running the ministry and get things going. But he said, I've been ministering everywhere that I go. I'm praying for people. I'm praying for the taxi drivers. I'm encouraging people on the street. Just everywhere that he goes, he is a light. And every person that he provides light to, you have a part of it. So it's an exciting thing. It has begun. It's starting to settle down some now. We did find him a place. They told him it was going to be 7,000 pula a month. And we said, no, we're going to do 5,000. And they said, oh, okay. So it's mostly furnished. You know, it's really hard to find a place over there that's furnished, and they want to charge a whole lot extra for the furnishings. But he got a bed and the stove and bedding and supplies and blankets and all kinds of stuff in it that he didn't have in his last place. The only thing he had to get was a refrigerator and something else, a TV, of course. But that's part of the outreach that he's doing with the youth. So he's there. He woke up this morning and it's raining like crazy, which is rare. They do have a rainy season. He said a lot of places in Gabs are flooded, water like up to their waist. And he said there's a lot of destruction going on. And he had a small pool in his kitchen where the light was leaking. And then in another room where it was leaking. So I said, well, we've discovered what needs to be fixed. But it's a challenging time. He does have a place, and I'm thankful for that. And God is working those things out. But I told him that we would pray for them this morning, that we would pray for Gabs, that we would pray for those people that are experiencing destruction. So would you just agree with me for them? Father, we lift up Botswana to you right now. Father, you said that if we would ask of you, you would give us the nations. And Father, we have asked for Botswana, for the kingdom. We have asked for your light to shine in Botswana, Father, through the ministries that we support. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you right now, especially the city of Gabs. Father, we pray that there would not be destruction that would take these people out, but, Father, that you would bring your hand of mercy alongside them. Father, that you would preserve them unto their day of salvation. Father, that you would stay the destruction and that you would release your mercy and your grace upon this town, Father, so that the light of your love and of your life can shine forth, Father, and these people can be changed, be blessed, Father, be saved and see their purpose, their destiny, their value, Father, and all that you have provided for them. Father, we thank you for wisdom for Brother Kempo that you flow through him. Father, for divine protection, for safety, for favor. And Father, I thank you that you are ordering his steps so that many, many, many lives are changed. Father, you are bringing together those that you would have him to work with. Father, putting the teams together of ministry so that lives are changed in Botswana and in Gabs, Father. And we give you thanks and praise for it. Amen. Thank you. And he sends his love. He says, I love you and I miss literally every single one of you. I miss you so much. But he's excited about what God is doing. And we'll have more testimonies on that. So I wanted you to understand the importance of the prayer covering as these guys are sent out. I know many of you have been covering him as well. And I know that it's been challenging for us in our household and knowing that we have people covering us in prayer is such a blessing. And then knowing that as you cover someone else in prayer, God's going to have somebody covering you too. So it is something that we build upon. It is foundational to what God wants to do, that we are loving and covering one another in the Spirit is very important. So I'm going to jump into the Word now. I have something to share with you. It's been in my heart for two and a half weeks now that God had shared with us some things in prayer one night. And I just want to encourage you with it. You know, this is a really weird time that we're in, just really strange. That is the understatement, I'm sure, of the year so far. But between the pandemic that's going on, between the strange things in our election, things that are going on globally, and you have even the church pitted against itself in many different ways. And I just want to bring a word of encouragement to you this morning that the very most important thing you can do is talk to God and say, God, what are you doing? Because you can turn on the TV and hear anybody say anything you want to hear. You know, USA is going to hell in a handbasket. God's going to change it any second now. Donald Trump is just going to, you know, be transported back into the White House and everything's going to be wonderful again. You can just hear a number of things. But the most important thing is, what is God saying? And how do you know? And it is man's nature to want somebody else to figure it out and to let us know. And there's a lot of churches where people throw something in the offering so the preacher can hear from God so he can tell me what's going on. What if he's wrong? What if he didn't get the fullness of it? God wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you what he's doing. You are important enough for God to speak to you, to speak to your heart and say, look, just back up. And don't worry about what you see with your eyes, but let me show you what I want you to do today. That's where we have to live. Can't live in the news. We can't live flipping this preacher, that prophet, that prophet. There are good ones out there. There are people that I listen to, but you got to be careful. So I just want to encourage you in some things that God said. There was a word that was given in prayer Tuesday, January the 19th, and I'm going to read it to you. And God said, it is not a time to be downcast, but it is time to celebrate. It's not a time to be disheartened, but it is time to rejoice in my plan for my people. For this is a good time and a good season that my church is coming into. So celebrate what I desire to do. Many of my people are distracted by governments and what's happening. Many are downcast and saddened. Many begin the day with a heavy heart. But I say to you, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So go forth, be salt, be light. Have compassion for the lost. Have compassion for the deceived. Rejoice in me. It's not a time to wait. The government of my kingdom is not in question. I will do as I have said. I will do all my good pleasure. So go and make disciples. Go and establish my kingdom. There is no need to wait, for victory is already yours. Now, I want you to pay attention to that word victory. Victory. There's something about that word victory right now. As I was praying last week, praying for some things that were going on, I just saw the word victory in flames. Just like it was white hot victory. And then someone else was sharing with us that God had shown them that the word victory, to pay attention, that victory had already been given. So God is working on things, and we should never be wondering if God is paying attention. He's already been here. He's already seen. He's not surprised by anything that's happened. In our country last November, things did not go as many expected in our elections. Or maybe they did, but then that expectation was thwarted. A lot of believers felt like they were validated in their contempt for President Trump, and that God had made it clear that he didn't like Trump, so Trump was out of there. Y'all don't get angry with me. I'm just talking about what's going on out there, okay? A lot of stuff going on. A lot of believers decided that America was just too evil for God to rescue us and give us an opportunity to once again become the light, and they gave up. I saw believers, friends, Christians posting upside-down flags on Facebook, "Nation in distress, it's over." I was like, but you know God. How can you say it's over? You know God. And then others in the body of Christ believe it's still not over, that God is working on something right now that's going to surprise everyone and change what our government, as it is, has declared. I will tell you for the most part that I am in that latter camp. I don't know details. I can't say on this date such and such is going to happen, but I don't believe it's over yet. I don't believe God is done in the shifting that he wants to do. And I have a lot of expectation for good things that are going to happen in our nation. Why? Because God's people have been praying. Everybody hasn't been praying. People that gave up, quit praying. People that thought everything happened perfectly, quit praying. But how many people have to pray? How many is enough? If we had 20,000 praying, would that be enough? Or maybe we need 40,000. What if we need 800,000 people praying? How many is enough? I remember that God was willing to save a city if he could find one righteous man. One righteous man. So I know we got more than one right here in House of the Lord. So we are praying and we are expecting God to do amazing things in our nation, because our nation was raised up specifically for the purpose of religious freedom, so that you could worship however you wanted to, as long as it didn't violate someone else's rights. Now, we don't have the right to not be offended. I'm sorry, that's not a right, that's a choice. You can choose not to be offended even though you don't like what someone else is doing. If they're not making you do it, let them do what they will. So I'm not going to get off into politics there. But I am expecting God to do some amazing things. And as I look at this word that he shared with us, that he gave to us, you know, we're so careful to continue to go back to the Bible, to the Word of God, and remind ourselves of the things he said. But sometimes he gives us a word and we think, oh, that was a cool little pick-me-up there, and then we don't go back to it. And I want to challenge you, if God has spoken things to you, if he's told you things in prayer, if you've been listening, you've been writing things down, you need to go back to it. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he speaks to you, it is life. It is spirit. And it will change things around you if you lay hold of it. If you just look at it like it's a nice little painting, oh, that was cool, it has nowhere to go. But when it becomes real inside of you and comes out of your mouth, then you see things changed. So we're going to revisit some of this word and look at some things. I don't know if you want to take notes. I've got four things here that I believe need addressing so that we can live as God told us to live in that word that he shared. Now, the first one is, we cannot live in fear. We cannot live in fear. You cannot look at the waves around you and be upset, okay? Because fear has torment. Fear will link you to, what is it Job said? That which I've greatly feared has come upon me. Fear is a force that will take you places. And you have to choose to say no. And we would love for God to just come in our room and just wash over us with his glowing, warm, amber light and just push all the fear out. But what did he say so many times in his word? Fear not. Fear not. It's your choice. It's your choice. If you stop thinking about it, you won't fear. Guess what? If you don't see things that are happening around you, if you're not constantly tuning into the news and seeing this and this and this and that, and you just go out in your front yard and say, what's life like where I'm living? So much of what the enemy tries to throw at us through the media is built up. Oh, I understand that it's a bad day in a lot of places, but we can make it better if we'll let go of fear and just begin to love one another. Love your neighbor. Check on them. How's everybody doing? Don't be afraid. I know people that are afraid to go out of their house right now. Some of it's because of the pandemic. Some of it's just because the state of the nation. They're just worried. They're afraid that if anyone finds out that they supported this one or that one in the election, that they're going to get beaten up. They're afraid of so many things. But folks, we have God on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? So I want to go out there and affect the world with the love of God. And just like John G. Lake, do you remember the story of him in South Africa? And that was it, the bubonic plague? And he was laying hands on people. He was carrying the bodies out when nobody else would, because everybody else that touched him would die. And they said, what's different about you? He said, I just trust God. He said, let's prove it. They took a sample of the bacteria and they put it on his hand. And they looked at it under a microscope. It's documented. You can read about it. And they watched it die on his hand. There was nothing special on his hand like sanitizer or disinfectant. It was just the power of God, because he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. And when we decide not to fear, then we can trust God. And we can have faith in him that he will do what he said he would do, that he will keep us. I want to ask you a question. If we have a government that is adverse to the cause of Christianity, who's greater, our government or God's? I'm not saying I expect that to continue for the next 4 to 8 years. I know God has a plan, but I'm not going to sit quaking in my room wondering if they're going to ban me from every social media platform I want to be on, and they're going to try to reprogram me and all this kind of stuff that you hear. Excuse me, I can remember the O'Brien kids when they would tell their sibling, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You don't get to tell me what to do. So we trust in God, because he's got our back. Amen? There's no place for fear. Joshua 1:9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, if you go to the grocery store, if you go to your job every day, wherever you go, the Lord your God is with you. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. I love Psalms 37. I would challenge you to make a note of that one and spend some time meditating in that, in Psalms chapter 37. It says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. He didn't say, you know, get all the rations that you can and hide out in your house until the rapture happens. Do good, so will you dwell in the land, and you will be fed. I will take care of you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So many people are thinking life as we knew it is over. And God's like, oh, I've got good stuff planned for you. I have wonderful things in your future if you choose to not fear and go forward. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will bring it to pass. You know, I wanted to be called to ministry. I wanted to go out and do great things for the Lord. And now it looks like I might not even be able to get out of the country. And I'm kind of afraid. If the Lord has called you, the safest place that you can be is in the middle of his commission. If he called you to Botswana, the safest place for you to be is in Botswana. Because where he's told you to go, he will provide. Amen? Amen. It says, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently on him. Fret not yourself because of those that prosper in their way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Fret not. Fret not. Some of us need to put that on the mirrors, on the refrigerators, on the walls, on the dashboard. Fret not. Because I want to tell you, it's a habit that you'll get into. It's someplace that your brain's always going to want to go, and you have to retrain it. Stop that. Cut that out. And tell yourself, if God is for me, who can be against me? The Lord is on my side. He's going to bring my life to pass. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way. Cease from anger. I'm in verse 8 now. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not yourself in any way to do evil. I'm not even going to go into that one. For evildoers will be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they will inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked will not be, and you will diligently consider his place, and it will not be. But the meek will inherit the earth and will delight themselves in the abundance of peace. In the abundance of peace. It is our choice to live in that because it's been provided. Number two, we cannot allow division. I need you to listen closely to this. I need you to be so careful with this. We get so caught up with what is righteous and what is not. And if you choose what is not righteous, then you're my enemy. That's wrong. That is not the heart of God. Okay? The things that people choose to believe may go against God. But people are his creation. It is not his desire that anyone should perish. Anyone. So you can hate the sin, but don't divide yourself from your brother because of what they believe that you don't. Because that division is what makes a house fall. Together we stand, divided we fall. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Don't allow that division to come in. We have to choose to love and cover one another. If somebody needs to be judged for their actions, guess who does that? You know, it's always been helpful to me. I've been involved in a few multi-level marketing things. I really hate them, but I have been involved in them. And one revelation that they gave me is to understand who's your downline. Who's your upline? That's who you listen to. That's who you take orders from. Who's your downline? That's who you are to, take care of and manage them and show them how to do it and straighten them out and correct it. And, you know, I have found that for the most part, brothers and sisters in the family, that's not your downline. It's God's. And so we let him deal with those other people. We let him worry about what other people are doing. I'm just going to love them and I'm going to pray for them. That's my commission. Because if I don't, who will? And God loves them so much. Loves them so much. Wants to see them change. And when everybody that they know that's a believer turns their back on them and says, you're wrong, who's going to bring them in? Who's going to be there saying, we love you? And it just might be that tomorrow the light comes on and you realize you were the one that needed to change. It's quite possible. So we need to follow after that charity and that mercy with people. See people as God sees them. Praying God's word over one another. You can't go wrong with that. Pray Ephesians 1, where he prays that, I think it starts in verse 17, somewhere around there. He says, I pray that you would be filled with a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And that the eyes of your heart, he's talking about believers. He's praying that the eyes of your heart would be flooded with light. That is our prayer for the body of Christ. However they voted, whatever they're saying now, my prayer is, Father, enlighten all of us to know your ways. Amen? The enemy is really pushing division in the body of Christ right now. And instead of looking to God, they're trying to decide who agrees with us and who doesn't and prove that we're on the right side. We may know things that God has told us, that we know this is how it's going to work out. But our MO, our modus operandi, our method of operating towards our brothers and sisters is always love and mercy and covering. I don't want to argue. I don't want to fight about these things. I know you believe strongly in what you say. Let's love God together and let him do what he needs to do. Amen? Now, this is going to sound a little bit converse to what I just said, but how many of you have ministers that you follow, that you listen to, that are speaking about the state of the nation, the election, prophets, that sort of thing? Some of you, people that we listen to, people we trust, we have to be careful with it. There's some fruits, nuts, and flakes out there. You want to be very careful when you hear people saying, God told me. You know, I'm going to stand back and watch. Let's see. You want to be careful, but we have to realize that we cannot wholly dismiss the sheer volume of the number of men of God and women of God that we trust who said Donald Trump will serve two terms. It's a huge volume. And the one that sealed it for me was Pastor Jim Lillard. And that was years ago. And that's what he said. And when he said, thus saith the Lord, he has never missed it. Could it happen? Sure. I'm just saying is all. There are some people out there who are speaking the truth of the word of God, and we cannot simply dismiss it because it's not what we want. Okay? That's what they want us to understand. Just because you want that doesn't mean it's supposed to happen. Well, we need to give them the same grace, because I believe that there are men and women who are speaking from God's heart. Now, as a friend of mine shared it, it will always happen as God said, but rarely as we imagine. Because God will say something and we paint a beautiful picture of how it's going to come out. And usually we get to it and we realize, oh, it happened, but God did it this way. And none of what I thought here happened. So I don't know exactly how things are going to pan out, but I just know that the kingdom of God will continue and prevail. And it's our choice to live in it with joy and pursue his plans, or we can cower. I don't want to cower. I do not want to cower. This is an important time. And then number four was, we have to be about our Father's business. Three was not wholly dismissing the voice of the men and women around us, men and women of God who are speaking towards our nation's future, towards the world's future. So not dismissing all of that. I say that because there are a lot of people in the church right now who are speaking to the prophets and they're saying, you missed it. You missed it. Hank Kuhneman, you missed it. Kent Christmas, you missed it. Kenneth Copeland, you missed it. All of these different people, they're saying, you missed it. You need to apologize and you need to step down from your office. That's a scary place to be when there are men and women that we know have been used mightily of God. For us to just stand up and say, because I didn't see it happen, you missed it. Be very careful about that, because the word says to believe his prophets and so will you prosper. So I am just backing up and saying, God, be it unto us according to your word. I'm not going to tell anybody you got to step down and give it up because you missed it, because it ain't over yet, okay? There's still a lot going on, and I'm just asking you to be careful on wholly coming down on one side or the other and expected everybody else to bow to what you think. And go in your prayer closet and just spend some time with God and say, God, what are you doing? And he may not choose to speak to you about it. He may just choose to tell you, you need to go love on your neighbor. And if that's what he said, that's what we need to do. And not be so involved in things that don't have anything to do with our day-to-day operation. I just want to be careful. And then number four, we must be about our Father's business. You know, at the end of that word, he said, go, be salt, be light, make disciples, make a difference in the kingdom, do what you're called to do, pray when you're supposed to pray, minister, love, teach, have family, live life that Jesus died to give you. We've been given the Great Commission, and we've been told our job description. But we have some choices to make in how we spend time with God and conduct our attitude and carry out the commission. Carry out the Great Commission. There are people in Botswana that have nothing, that don't know anything about our government and what's going on with it. They just need somebody to feed them today. Somebody that cares enough to love them. somebody that cares enough to give them a hug and tell them, I'm praying for you and it's going to be okay. We're going to see what we can do to help you. They don't need a lesson on politics in America. They don't need a lesson on the prophetic and seeing into the future, seers and hearers. They just need some food and some love and some Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be about. That is what we're called to do. God said it's not a time to be downcast. It's time to celebrate. Not a time to be disheartened, but a time to rejoice. For this is a good time and a good season that my church is coming into. So celebrate what I desire to do. What God desires to do. What does he desire to do? What's the best way to find out? Two things. Read the word and talk to him. If I want to know what Richard wants to do for lunch, I can meditate and I can try to see inside his brain and I can try to think of what he's done before and how he's done it in the past and what, or I could just say, Richard, what do you want for lunch? People make it so, he never knows, but people make it so complicated. How do I know the heart of God? How do I know what he wants? Ask him. And then be willing to spend the time to listen. Because he doesn't always answer right away. Sometimes Richard says, I'll get back to you. I've got to be available when he's ready to get back to me and be listening. Amen? So being willing to do those things. One thing that he said is from Isaiah chapter 60, and we've shared this before. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, in verse 2, for behold, darkness will cover the earth, and dense darkness will cover the people. Have we seen that? Seen a little bit of darkness out there? But the Lord will arise upon you, his glory will be seen on you, and then what happens? Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Do y'all understand that that is happening? Botswana came to us out of many people, many places, many churches, many opportunities that were presented to them and vice versa. Botswana came to us. I have ministers coming to me saying, would you please send us something because you've got understanding over there and we need it. That's nations coming to our light. Just because we love God. We're not a big, huge church on TV and radio filling coliseums and shiny light shows and all kind of stuff. But the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And we have a heart to do what he wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, real quick, I just want to share. So what is God doing? Some things that he is doing. And first of all, I want you to see something in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. He talks about when things get really bad, I'm going to send the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. And I saw this in a way that I had not seen it before. First of all, God wants to restore the family. He wants to restore mothers and fathers and children because he reveals himself to us through what he sets in the home. And if you didn't have a good father, you're going to have a hard time understanding God. So God wants to restore those family relationships, but I also saw the fathers that he's talking about there are the shepherds, the pastors. God is raising up pastors, shepherds after his own heart. There have been a lot of hirelings out there, a lot of people that figured out how to work the system, write a book, write some music, make some money. We got this thing going. God is not going to tolerate that anymore. You're going to see some things changing and some big names that's going to surprise you. But God is wanting to get back to his shepherds having, as they say, the smell of the sheep on them. Shepherds that care about their people, turning the hearts so that the people are loving their shepherds, not just throwing a little change at them saying, tell me something I want to hear and don't bother me until I come back. Knitting us together so that we're working together as a family. That is what God is doing right now and working that out. God is working in his church He has destined us to be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And he is returning for a glorious church, not a cowering church, not a bitter church, and not an obnoxious church, but a church that is beautiful and a church that knows who she is. Don't forget who you are. You are a child, a covenant child of the Most High God. When Jesus took authority back, he didn't take it back for himself. He was going back to heaven. He took it back for his people. He said, I set things right. I put it back like it was supposed to be when Adam and Eve lost it. I've brought it back. You're the authority. Use your words and speak. I know that God is cleaning house. In 1 Peter, it talks about the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the house of God. God called his church back to him last year. He said, I need you to come back to the altar and spend time in prayer, spend time hearing my voice. And that is where he wants us to live, is in that secret place where we're all hearing, and then we come together. And it's amazing that I heard, and Michelle heard, and Rosie heard, and we all heard the same thing because we all listened to the same voice, the voice of God. And God wanted his church back to that. And we've seen that begin. And what I see happening now is as it was in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Remember, we talked about Samuel kept hearing someone call his name, and he kept going back to Levi. And Levi's like, kid, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to sleep. What are you doing? Finally, he said, you know, I think God's trying to talk to you. So the next time when he heard the voice, he said, here am I, Lord. And God said to this young kid who didn't know anything, I'm raising you up to be the next face of the church, because the people that were supposed to have let it go. So God is raising up a remnant, young, small. We don't look like much, maybe, but we have the heart of God, and we're willing to let him use us however he wants to. And I believe that he will, that he is doing that. And God is looking for those who will require his presence and welcome him. The eyes of the Lord run, this is 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. He has desired that we would seek him, as it says in Psalms 24, verse 6. This is the generation of those who seek him and inquire of and for him, and of necessity require him. Of necessity, I can't do anything without him. I don't want to do anything without him. He is my life and my everything. I require his presence and his anointing, or I am nothing. So God wants us turning our hearts back to him. And God is blessing his people to show his goodness to the world. Psalm 67, it says, God, be merciful and gracious to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us and among us. And doesn't that sound like, oh, just give us everything wonderful and good, God, so we can be happy. And it says, so that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power, your deliverance, and your salvation among the nations. Yes, God wants you blessed. He wants you to have everything that he needs. That's why he sent Jesus. But it's so the world can see you and say, wow, God is good. God is faithful, because I know you, and you know, you don't really deserve that. But you loved God, and he did something special for you. So maybe I need to check this out. Don't be ashamed of the blessings of the Lord. Let them speak of his goodness and not ours. And then the last thing I would share with you is Joshua 3:5. I believe with all my heart this is where we are right now. Joshua 3:5, they were fixing to cross over to the promised land. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, that is, set yourselves apart, separate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I know you've heard this, but I challenge you to search your heart and say, have I really sanctified myself? Did I really set myself apart as God said to do? 2020 was not a season of prayer to make us ready for something that has now gone away. It was a call to return to our first love and return to doing things God's way. As we separate ourselves to Him for His purpose, we'll see a shifting in the government. We'll see a return to God's way of church. We will see a great awakening across the world, a revival as we've never seen before. And we will see new things breaking out all over because God is doing a new thing. So the Lord said, go forth, be salt, be light, have compassion for the lost and the deceived, rejoice in me. It's not a time to wait. The government of my kingdom is not in question, and I will do as I have said. I will do all my good pleasure, for victory is already yours.
Amen. Amen. The kingdom of God is not in question. The kingdom of God is not in question. Father, I thank you for the word that we've heard. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and your presence that we felt here this morning, Father. Knowing that you abide in us and we can take you with us, we take you everywhere we go, and you continually lead us and guide us into your truth and your triumph as we follow you, Father. Thank you for the word that has been gone forth, Father God, and the exhorting, the exhortation from your word, Father, that leads us, that word is seed, it is spirit, it is life, and it changes our hearts as we plant it into our hearts, Father God, in our lives. I thank you that your word produces what you have sent it to produce, and that you cause your word, which is your will, your plan, and your purpose, to be accomplished not only in the lives of each individual in this room, but in house of the Lord corporately and in the body of Christ around the world. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that you do continually lead us by your Spirit. That your word is planted in our hearts and it produces much fruit. You cause it to change lives. Not only our lives because we've heard it, but change others' lives because we have heard it and we are changed so that we affect others as we come in contact with them. Thank you, Father, that you spill out all over them. Father, with your love and your mercy and your grace, let us be open channels to allow your love to flow, allow your grace to minister peace and hope to a lost and dying world. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. We just praise your name. We thank you for all that you are doing among us and for all that you are doing in us and with us and allowing us to be a part of your kingdom, allowing us to be a part of your plan. We thank you for it, Father God. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 Stand with me. We call for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Things that we don't know, but God knows, and His peace sustains us. His grace motivates us, and His truth never fails. You are blessed. You're loved of God. You are the sweet-smelling aroma of His presence everywhere you go, and whoever you are in contact with, they sense the presence of God on you, knowing that you have been with God. And everywhere you go, everywhere you put your foot, you have favor, you have divine favor and intervention, and everything you put your hand to is successful and prosperous. Because you're led by the Spirit of God, and His Spirit continually leads us in truth, triumph, and victory. and that the kingdom of God is advanced. The righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is manifested as we represent His kingdom. We are blessed above and beyond what we could imagine or even comprehend. You are blessed. You are loved. You are taught of the Lord. Great is your peace. Go with God. We will see you on Tuesday night. We have prayer meeting. And then we'll take it from there. God bless you. You're dismissed.